Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, we must start off with obviously that first statement. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. In some translations it says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is an evidence. That's what it means there, surely. Does it? You reckon? Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So, faith will produce things.
Amen.
You might not see them initially, but they are there. Just because you can't see something with your eyes, in natural eyes, it does not mean it's not there. Interesting thing was on the One Show tonight, Andrew Marr has written a book on history, and it's going to be on TV, I think Sunday night around about 9 o'clock, and he was just saying a little bit about it. Where did he start in history? And he started back basically and said, well, it really starts with a tribe from Africa, and he says that from there it can be traced back that to one woman who gave birth to every mankind basically from that point on, and that from that they came out of Africa and went out through the earth. Well, it says here in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 and 3, it talks about God creating the earth, talks about God creating man and creating Eve, which we discussed even last week, if I remember rightly, didn't we? Talked about Eve coming out of Adam. And he didn't say there was a God. He didn't say there was a creator. But he's basically saying that history points back to this sort of event. Well, yeah, it does. There's a history book here called the Word of God, and it's true. And I thought, well, that's, I might have to video that program and just watch it and see what's going to be said. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. There are things going to happen for us in the future. Maybe some of us are believing God for some things in the future.
Yeah.
And we're believing it by faith. We're believing it by faith in the Word of God. We're believing it by faith in the promises of God. And we're believing for something in the future.
Amen.
But you can't see it with the eye of the flesh, with your natural eye. But faith causes you and I to look through the eye of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And to begin to see things in the eyes of the Spirit. To see things in the eyes of God. So that we're looking to the future with a promise.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Abraham did. God gave him a promise.
Amen.
Did he not?
Yeah.
He said he was going to be a great nation, that many sons. Well, Abraham only ever saw, well, two sons, but only one son to his wife. The other one was to his handmaid, to the wife's handmaiden. And so he was promised a great nation, but he only saw one, really one son that God would accept. And so by faith he believed God. Now verse 6 says this. And this is what I want to really focus a little bit on tonight is. And without faith it is impossible to please him, that's God. For he who comes to God must believe that he God is, and that he God is a rewarder of those who seek him. All right. So first of all, that first part of the statement is, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Who wants to be a God pleaser?
Me.
Okay, so if we want to be a God pleaser, we have to have faith.
Yeah.
We have to have faith, one, in his word, in his promises, in his abilities to change circumstances and situations. Now, some of you here have been in difficult circumstances and difficult situations, may have been sick, and it's through faith and through prayer that you came out of those situations and circumstances, because the odds were stacked against you. In some cases, doctors were against you. In some cases, circumstances were totally against you, and the odds were very small that you would get through this. But God came in because you started to believe, you started to apply a measure of faith. God has given to you a measure of faith. Now, Bill hasn't got more faith than Helen.
No.
We've all been given the same measure. Because if there was a different measure in faith, there would be favourites with God. Now, the next thing you do, I always liken faith to a muscle. If you don't use it, they tell us, you'll lose it. So if you sit around all day and do nothing, your muscles get flabby. I know that from when I was laid on my back for a good number of months. Leg muscles got weak and etc. because they were not being used like they normally are, etc. And so, if you don't use it, you'll lose it.
Yeah.
If you don't use your faith, you'll lose faith.
Oh, man.
It's fairly simple. This isn't rocket science.
Yeah.
Jesus came to preach, to seek and to save them which was lost. He was looking for the people that were out in the highways and the byways. He was looking for those that didn't know a lot, maybe. He was looking for those who were not well educated, because they were the ones who were downtrodden. They were the ones who were put on. So Jesus came with a simple message. And so by faith, just believing in God, believing in his word, beginning to trust, and you begin to exercise that measure of faith, and that faith begins to grow. Faith grows. It will grow in and grow and grow, so that you can see greater things happening. But you have to learn to use what you've got.
Amen.
Which is so important. Using what you've got. If you don't use it, you will lose it. You will go through dark times. Every one of us at some stage will go through a dark, difficult situation.
Yeah.
And it is faith that will bring you through. And faith is feeds on the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Faith feeds on the word of God. If you don't feed yourself with the word, you will become weak. And you will... it would be like sitting in darkness. It'd be like planting seeds and leaving them in a dark place. We've watered them, we've put them in this compost, and we've left them. And we've left them in a dark place, and we've not cared for them. And the heat of the situation and circumstances has caused them to grow. And then when you go back to it, I once did this in an airing cupboard. I forgot all about them. Put these seedlings in, and I think I left them about a week or a fortnight. When I opened the door, these triffids fell up, and just they had no strength. They were long and gangly. They had no ability to stand up. They were useless. They were no good as seedlings in the end. They'd gone beyond the point of seedlings. They'd gone to start to grow up, but they were so weak and gangly that even if you put stakes in against them, the wind would have just snapped them. They would have just broken under their own weight. So it's like, oh. And so when you don't care for yourself and you don't spend time in the word of God, you could end up becoming long and gangly.
Yeah.
In the heat and the darkness, of course, you become long and gangly. But when you get into the light of the word and you let God begin to speak to you and let the word begin to work on you, you become strong. And faith is there to cause you and I to become strong. Consider verse 7. And Noah, by faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen. What does that mean? Do you know what the word of God is talking about there? By faith, Noah is warned about things not yet seen. Any idea?
Do you mean what it means for Noah?
What was God telling Noah that he'd never seen before? Because that's what it's saying. By faith, Noah being warned by God about things Noah had not seen.
Rain.
Mm-hmm. It had never, ever rained. And you can find that, you go a little bit further back towards the beginning of Genesis, and you will find in there it says, and a mist on the evening time came up from the ground and watered the earth. It had never rained, they'd never seen rain clouds, and they'd never experienced water falling from the sky. And we have this year.
Certainly.
Things had changed since then. And so here you find that God tells Noah, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to cause water to fall out of the sky. Now, probably Noah was thought to be a little bit strange as it was, because he believed in this unknown God of his ancestors, of his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, Adam. Mm. And so he's believing God, but he's never seen it before. And so what does he do? He takes upon himself a great task and begins to build an ark. So, here we find that Noah, warned by God about things not yet seen, he's been told about the future, something that's never happened before, and he's going out and telling people all about it. If you don't repent, if you don't mend your ways, if you don't change, if you don't come back to God, if you don't change your lifestyles, then this is what's going to happen. Water is going to come down from the sky. Well, these people had lived 100 or more years, and never ever had they seen water coming down from the sky. Their ancestors had never told them anything about this before. This had never happened before. So can you imagine that Noah is thought to be a bit of a strange man? Mm-hmm. Bit of a crackpot. Bit of a lunatic. Mm-hmm. And then God then goes on to tell him, in verse 7 he says, by faith Noah being warned by God about things not seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness which is according to faith.
Amen.
So in the middle of a forest, in the middle of landlocked area, no sea nearby, he builds a boat. There are no articulated lorries to transport this large boat to the nearest lake or sea, and he begins to build it in the middle of nowhere. Now you can guess, people thought, his friends thought, there is something deeply wrong with Noah. And he's going out and he's preaching the gospel to them. He's telling them what's going to happen if they don't repent and turn from their wicked ways. And they choose to ignore him, and we know the story about the flood. But the interesting part in that verse 7 is this, is that by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Righteousness comes through faith. Righteousness comes through faith. You can't receive righteousness, you can't live in righteousness without faith. I find that, you know, it's quite amazing. There's a lot of things revolves on the faith in God, faith in God's word, faith in his promises. that he can do what he says he can do. Now you and I would turn around and say, those things are impossible. Well, you heard on Sunday, we did the little thing of impossible. Well, just put a H on the end, and it is him,
yeah.
Possible. With God, you see, all things are possible.
You've got to read the Bible, though, to get faith, haven't you?
Well, yes. You see, you have to put your roots, if you want. If you were a plant, you have to put your roots in the Word of God.
I think that's what gives you faith. It has me.
Causes your faith. It causes faith to grow.
Faith comes by you.
Yeah, that's right, because there's that verse of Scripture which says, as Helen rightly says, faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. You see, you can hear a lot of bad things, you can hear a lot of negative things, particularly these days with the TV and radio. You can hear the negatives, and you can hear the bad things that go on. It doesn't create faith, it creates fear. But you listen to the Word of God, you read the Word of God out aloud to yourself, and it will create faith.
Amen.
It will change circumstances and situations. It will set you right for the future. Yeah. And so it's important that we catch all of these and we realise the importance that faith has for each and every one of us. Verse 6, just a reminder, says, and God is a rewarder of those who seek him.
Yeah.
How do we seek God? Well, one way we can do it is just simply by reading the Word. You will find God in this book.
Amen.
If you seek him, the Word says you will find him. Yeah. So by spending time in this book, you can seek him and find him. At the same time, by prayer. Prayer is conversation with him. And so we can pray and talk with God. And so it's important that we realise that faith will cause things to happen, and faith will also give you a picture of the future. Faith will cause you to realise that God is doing things that seem impossible, but there are promises there that faith is holding on to. It's like I said earlier, some of the promises that God gave to Abraham, in the eyes of the flesh, he never saw them come to pass.
No.
But he didn't stop him. Because by the eye of the Spirit, he believed and trusted God.
Mm.
And as we all know, if we believe the Word of God, it says we shall live forever.
Yeah.
The soul that sinneth will surely die, but the soul that is found in Christ will live forever. And that means we shall see the promises come to pass.
Yeah.
For our own lives. Because the problem is, so many people think the grave is the end. No, it's not. It's just a transfer. It's just a transfer. It's not the end.
No.
But so many people think that because they can't see it, it can't happen. Well, it does.
Amen.
It does happen. There is such a potential for God to do a great work when we allow faith to begin to move. So, simple term here is, you have to put typed out, is faith is believing without seeing.
Yeah.
In some ways, some people say, well, have you got blind faith? Well, blind is not the right word. But that's what the world attributes it to. Blind faith. It's not quite blind, because I see by the eye of faith.
It's trusting faith.
It's trusting faith, yeah. But Scripture says we see by the eye of faith.
Spiritual eye is really
important. Spirit, that's right, Bill.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely, spiritual sight. Because the problem is that because we live in the flesh at this time, we think like the flesh all the time if we're not careful. And so by doing that, we actually lock ourselves in to this fleshly body. That's not God's intention. It never was God's intention for you to be locked in to this physical body.
What I've been feeling just recently, because I've really tried to concentrate on God's word, And I will say this if we're talking about it today, because I was sat in bed this morning and I thought, right, I'm going to make myself a drink, cup of tea, take it to bed. And I was reading the word and I just sat there and I felt such an excitement, just something I can't describe. And I've been concentrating so much on it, I don't think I'll give the devil half a chance to get in.
Good.
Because if I've been doing jobs in the house, I've had Joyce Mayer on, you lot talking to me as well.
Mm.
And I've just been, the more I've felt like that, the more I've wanted it.
Yeah.
So I know for a fact, I can't say it enough, I've just really felt strength from it.
Praise God. Just on that second paragraph on those notes, faith is believing that we receive it and yet not seen. We may, it should be, not made, we may receive it in our spiritual life, the eternal life. Okay, so we're going to receive it in our spiritual life and our life in eternity. Because you see, you and I, our spirit and our souls are going to live forever.
Mm-hmm.
The flesh will decay away, but that does not mean to say we stop living.
Yeah.
That doesn't. We don't stop existing.
Yeah.
Where we exist, that's the choice that we have now made. To live with God, to live in His presence, is through Christ Jesus. To reject Him means to be tormented in hell and imprisoned in a place of absolute hatred and lack of love and just a despicable place, a place without God. And so, but that's another subject. So moving on, what we need to do, we need to pray, Lord, help us to stick with the assignment that God has given us for life.
Amen.
Help us to stick with the assignment that God has given us for life. What's He given you for life? What's He given you to do? What's He called you to do? What's He called you to be? Then stick to that assignment. Do it. Do it with all of your heart, with all of your might, with all of your soul, with all of your spirit. Let the word of God drive you along. If you're running a race, you train. And you run the race. It's not about did you win, but you have to run the race. You do the training. And so we're in a training program as we let the word of God work in us. Get to know what God has called you to and stay focused on that and be single-minded.
Yep.
Don't be blown about by every wind of doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be moved by circumstances and situations, what you see. Stay focused on the promises that God has given to you. Stay focused in those promises. Stay in the Word and let the Word begin to work.
Mm.
So be single-minded. The Bible says that you're not to be double-minded. I believe it's in James, isn't it? Where it says, you know, double-minded man receives nothing.
He's unstable
in all his ways. Oh, shall I do this? Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'll do that. Yeah, so, you know, and you just don't know what to do. By the time you've done nothing.
No.
Have you ever spent a day thinking, shall I do this or shall I do that? Oh, no, I won't. Oh, no, I don't feel. And by the time you've done nothing all day.
And
you're worn out, but at the same time you're slightly stressed because you haven't done anything, and you know it's there to do, and you're like, I've wasted a day, and I should have done this, and I should have done that. You do. I mean, I've done it myself occasionally, and thinking, but then I get told, oh, you need a rest anyway. So so then I get a little bit of peace from that.
You feel all right then, don't you? Somebody says, well, you need.
But sometimes you drive yourself on the wrong things.
But you don't drive yourself too far sometimes, don't you?
Yeah, but we do in the flesh,
mm.
but we never drive ourselves far enough in the spirit.
That's true.
Because we get ourselves exhausted in the flesh, and then we're too tired to even be bothered in the realm of the spirit. See, the Bible says the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Mm.
And we overtax it at times.
Mm.
Guilty of it. I hold my hands up and say, that's me.
Mm.
So be single-minded. Let's push aside every distraction of the devil to remain fixed and focused on doing exactly what God has instructed me to do in Jesus' name. What has God instructed you to do? It's a question to think about. What has God instructed me to do?
Study the word.
Get yeah. focused on it, work on it, develop it.
Mm.
Be good at it.
Yeah.
God's called you to teach the word or to be a Sunday school teacher. Be good at it. He's called you to design websites. Be good at it. Called you to healing ministry. Be good at it. Called you to, you know, teach. Be good at it. Called you to pray. Be good at it. Whatever God has called you to do, be good at it.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a ministry of caring for others, be good at it. You've got to be good at it. The only way you become good at it is spending time one with God and allowing God to work through you and give you instruction and advice and direction and encouragement. And others will along the way. Noah had to stay focused on that task. He had a great task before him, but he had to stay focused on it. There were a lot of people standing around on the sidelines, coming round to have a look and jeering. Stupid old man. What does he think he's doing? Building a boat. For what? Does he not know? Has he forgotten that it's never, we don't get water here? Could have called him all sorts of names. Probably even started throwing stones at him. What's this fool doing? Being a fool for God is trusting God by faith.
Well, they didn't go into the ark, did they? So they obviously didn't believe him.
Well, they didn't believe him, no.
They didn't believe him.
And then when God closed the door of that ark, and then it began to rain, and the earth began to shake, they were banging on, I guess they'd be banging on the side of the door. Let us in, Noah, let us in, Noah. And Noah, I will guarantee, would have tried to open the door.
Yeah.
But guess what? When God closes the door,
yeah,
it's closed.
Yeah.
And no man can open it. And so that door was closed by God and closed and sealed by God.
Mm.
Mm. Nothing you can do. God had made, they had made their choice, they had made their decision, and they reaped from that decision making. They didn't listen to the word. They knew of God, they knew of the Creator, but they chose to absolutely ignore him.
Too late,
absolutely. But you see, Noah had to stay focused on the great task before him. Abraham believed God for cities he was promised and sons.
Mm.
Only he saw one son in the flesh.
Mm.
But God said to him, he took him outside on an evening time and said, look at the stars. And then when you see the Milky Way, when you see on TV and they show you photographs of the Milky Way and you go try counting them. When you're on those ships, there's no light around, you will see stars beyond your ability to count, won't you? That's the wonder of God. And God says, that is just like what your family's going to be. They're going to be as many as that. We're part of his family.
Amen.
Spiritual sons of God.
Yeah.
You see? You see, today, in today's light pollution, that verse of scripture goes a little bit awry. Because usually we can see a few stars and we say, well, I can count all these, there ain't so many. But you turn them out and get a clear day. I know when we've been on a lake in the US with no lights around, it's been absolutely, the Milky Way, the first time I ever saw it, we just laid on the top of this boat with your mouth wide open, just going, cannot put a pinprick between them stars that you can see. And that's only what we can see. And the stars beyond what we can see. Wow. This is our God.
Yeah.
This is our God. Moses, by faith, a man of, well, no means. He had nothing. Verse 23 of chapter 11. By faith, Moses, when he was born, he was hidden for 3 months by his parents. They were scared that he was going to be killed by the Pharaoh, or by the Pharaoh's soldiers. So they hid him for 3 months, trying to keep him quiet. How do you keep a baby quiet? And they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict, which was kill every Hebrew male child. And you know the story of Moses. He was placed in a reed basket in the river Nile. Well, let me tell you this, that today in the river Nile in Egypt there are no crocodiles. There's a reason for that. There's an enormous dam at the southern end. And if anything attempts to get through, they're just chopped up, basically. But they're prevented from getting through. So there are no crocodiles in Egypt now. But in the days of Moses, you put a reed basket in there with a baby, and it's free food.
Yes.
It's a meal. What a risk. Had a promise on their son. Believed God.
Yeah.
By faith. His parents. And then Moses followed by faith.
And he brought it by the one who wanted.
And that's right. This is the mystery of God. Yes,
right. Enemy's camp. Yeah. Right.
This is great, isn't it?
Yeah.
God says, okay, I know where the best place to keep this guy safe for the next 40 years, and that's sit him in the house of Pharaoh when they're trying to kill him.
Yeah.
Let them teach him, let them feed him, educate him, bring him up in all the good ways, and then I'll take it from there, right underneath their noses. No, you see, God knows what he's doing. It's like with Jesus, and I said, you know, last week we were talking about Adam, when Adam was put to sleep and his side was open and a rib was taken from his side and the bride was created, Adam's bride. And in the same way, Jesus, when his side was open with that spear, blood and water came forth, the birth of the new church, the birth of the bride of Christ came into being at that point in time. Amazing. And yet God 6,000 years ago had demonstrated exactly what he was going to do.
Yeah.
Right under the nose of the devil.
Yeah.
And the devil couldn't see it. God.
He didn't have spiritual eyes.
That's right. No spiritual eyes, you see. Fallen beings. They have no spiritual eyes. The devil will only know what you tell him. So watch what you say.
Lost his glory,
didn't watch he? What you say.
That's why he said turn the stones into bread, because he could only see things with the eyes, and his, you know, ordinary eyes.
Yeah. So remember that God is beyond all these things, and God has plans and purposes, and he's doing these things right under the nose of the enemy.
Yeah.
So even if you're in a difficult situation, just remember God can do things right under the nose of your enemy. And he can, for want of a better word, he can play cards right up to the last hand and still beat them.
Yeah.
He can do it. He knows what he's doing. He's got the ability. He has the wherewithal to do it.
Yeah.
You give it, you help the situation by staying in faith.
Yeah.
By trusting and believing in this word. The next statement we have is by faith they overcame. We're overcomers. Abraham was an overcomer. Moses was an overcomer. Noah was an overcomer.
Yeah.
And it was all by faith. They weren't trusting in what they could see. They weren't trusting in what they knew with their own intellect. But they were trusting what they knew in the realm of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Because God is Spirit. And we need to trust him in the realm of the Spirit. I mean, when you consider Moses, who was he? By the time the new Pharaoh met him, he didn't recognize him. He didn't realize where he'd lived for 40 years, where he'd been brought up. All he knew was that he'd come out of the desert, and he weren't much to look at. Stank of sheep.
An old man,
yes. Coming to tell Pharaoh, let my people go.
Mm.
Who does he think he is? Who does he think he is?
God's deliverer.
Absolutely, God's deliverer, God's mouthpiece. And when you are God's mouthpiece, people need to watch out.
Amen.
And so he began to perform miracles. This nobody. He had no credentials. As far as the Pharaohs were concerned, he'd got nothing. He was a nobody. He was uneducated as far as they thought.
Like a tramp.
Probably, a little bit that way at times. So who is he?
He takes the weak things of the world. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
The mighty.
Taking the weak things of the world. And he will confound the mighty.
He does.
No doubt about it. But verse 30 says, of Hebrews 11, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. The children of Israel went round those walls in obedience to what Joshua had said. And Joshua had listened to the angel of God, who had given him the instructions of what to do. These were mighty walls. You could run 4 or 5 chariots abreast round the walls. So these walls were not going to fall over. Scholars in the past have said, well, you know why these walls fell down? Because what happened is the children of Israel had spears and they kept walking round. They were digging the cement out between the bricks. Now then, If you were had your gates locked and you were surrounded by a host of people, would you stand on the wall and let these people dig spears in? Surely you'd be throwing things at them and
oil, fire,
you're doing all sorts of things to prevent them getting anywhere near the walls, right? Then again, they'd need long points to get right through. If you can run, you know, 4 or 5 chariots abreast, you know, what's it going to be? 20 foot wide or something or more? So it's going to be a long point on that spear. And then how do you push it over?
As Alan says, you need more faith to believe for a spear thing than you do.
Exactly. Yeah, it takes a greater measure of faith to believe some of these foolish ideas of men that want to decry the word of God, that want to try and disprove the word of God, and they come up with more extravagant theories that are more difficult to believe, and they think they'll believe that if I tell them that. Well, sorry. And so here we find that they encircle these walls for 7 days in obedience by faith to the word of God. And it says that on the last day, on the 7th day, at the end of the march, they shouted. They shouted, and the walls came down, but didn't fall over. Didn't say the walls fell over. It says the walls came down. They just dropped down in the earth. Imagine God's angelic army, you know, just stamped on the top of the thing. Down it went. There was only one bit left standing. That was the place where Rahab lived and her family. And that part was protected and stood. Because there was a red cord. Yeah, a red cord, you see. Symbol of the blood of Jesus. Symbol of the work of the cross that's going to happen, isn't it? Yeah.
Protects us today.
That still protects us today. Yeah, it's nothing's changed. And so you see, the what we have to realise that God is in the shout.
Yes.
God is in the shout. And sometimes we have to start to declare something and we have to shout.
Amen.
Because God will be in the shout. And so you and I need to realise at times we need to shout.
Yep.
I know we're English. Reserved and quiet. We don't do that thing, do that in our churches, do we?
Yeah.
Well, we need to shout.
Yeah.
Because it says God is in the shout.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when you begin to shout, things that are standing against you, things that are holding you back, will come down.
Yeah.
Will collapse and come down. God is in the shout. When you put the word of God in, things will be broken.
Yeah.
Things will just disappear in front of your very eyes. This is what happened to the children of Israel. There they were, stood in front of these great big walls, and they shouted at the top of the voices. And then the next thing, the ground began to shake, and these walls just tumbled down before their very eyes. And Joshua said, when that happens, just run.
No, no.
Not run away.
They don't come down like that, otherwise it'd fall on them.
Exactly. And they ran over into the city and devoured the city. We've been to Jericho, haven't we, dear? Not a wall in sight. Not a wall in sight. And they've done some digging over the years and they've discovered that there are some walls underneath. God is so good, you know.
Amazing.
God is so good. And we have to realise that we can overcome circumstances and situations in faith.
Mm.
Let the word of God be acted upon in faith. And in that shout of faith, things will come down and be broken. And God moves in mysterious ways. We're in the race of faith.
Yeah.
Hebrews 12, chapter 12. And verse 1. I love this verse. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, who are we talking about? I do not see a cloud around me, of witnesses around me. I see a number of people. But here, the writer of the Hebrews says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Who's he talking about? Go on, Joan.
The saints that's gone.
The saints who have gone on before.
Mm.
Yeah, my mum too.
Yeah.
And they're out there. That cloud of witnesses. And it's, the word says, let us lay aside every encumbrance, everything that snares you, everything that prevents you from doing what God has for you to do. Realize that you've got to push it to one side. You've got to push through this.
Yeah.
Lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. It used to be an old chorus that we used to sing. Tangles, tangles, tangles I was in. I was born in Tangletown because of Adam's sin. But Jesus came into my life and untangled every knot. And now I am so glad, I am so free from tangles. Simple, but based on that scripture even. That we're entangled by circumstances, situations, people, that lock us into, that it imprisons us from doing that which God wants us to do.
Some things are not simple, are they? But they're still distracting us from
exactly
doing what we
that's
want.
Right. I mean, there are things, as you say, that not necessarily sinful at all, but they distract you from doing what God wants you to do. We're back to that. It's going to bring us back to that scripture that we started off beginning of the year. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these other things shall be added unto you. But seek ye first the King of the kingdom. When we find Jesus, when he finds us, and we get together with him, when we seek him with all of our heart, things begin to happen and change. And so it's important that we realise that the devil will put things in your way to hinder you. Things will come along your way just to slow you down, to stop you, to prevent you doing the things of God. And some of us will think, oh, we're doing what's right. We're doing a good thing. But are we doing the right thing? Are we doing what God wants us to do? Question we all need to ask ourselves at times. Are we doing the right thing? Are we doing what God wants us to do? Let us run the race with endurance. Run the race that is set before you. Run it with some, you've got to have some endurance. Have some stamina. Pain drains stamina. I know that from a personal experience. Faith will create stamina and strength in us. Faith is this. The world would have termed it a wonder drug. A wonder drug. Does everything. And it does. It does. Faith in God does everything.
Does.
Hallelujah. Fantastic. And so Jesus encourages, look to Jesus, let him inspire you. Let him thrill you to such a point that nothing will stand in your way.
Amen.
Let him inspire you, let him thrill you to such a point that nothing can stand in the way. Amen. I know you'll hear voices that say, oh, you can't do that. You don't have the ability. You don't have the knowledge. You're not physically fit enough, etc. But you and I need to be inspired. You and I need to be thrilled by Jesus to such a point that nothing will stand in the way. Because there's that verse of scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It doesn't say I can do all things in myself, but it says I can do all things through Christ, because he's the one who gives me the strength, who gives me the ability, and nothing's going to stand in the way.
Amen.
When the enemy comes in, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard like a flood against him and pushes him back.
It's like that saying, you say, there isn't such a thing as can't.
No, there isn't.
Can't you?
No, that's true. There isn't such a thing as can't. It's I don't want to. That's what it means. Mm. When people say I can't, they mean I don't want to.
No, that's right.
Well, say what you mean and mean what you say. Be a disciple of God. Hebrews 12. And verse 3 onwards. For consider him who endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. Talking about Jesus, consider Jesus, who endured the hostility, the cross, and the treatment that he received. And he did that so that you might not grow weary and lose heart. It says, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding of blood in your striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is in addressed to you as sons. My sons, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. Sometimes we think God is just a lovey-dovey God. He's not. Because if we step out of line, guess what? He's going to bring us back into line, because he loves us so much that he wants to protect us.
Yeah.
And so there'll be some discipline into our lives. There'll be some correction into our lives. You read Timothy, and Timothy is exhorted and encouraged by Paul. Teach the word, exhort the people, but also administer discipline. If they need correction, then give it them. Don't be weakened, if you want, or put off by the fact that you're a young man and you're having to discipline older people. Just do it, because that is according to the word, because that's what he was anointed to do. And he was being encouraged by Paul. Teach that word, encourage them. Verse 8 says, but if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. You see, the moment that we refuse the discipline of God, we come to a point of being saying, we're not of God, we're illegitimate. He has no authority over us. So by saying that, we're actually putting ourselves in the devil's camp.
Yeah.
We're actually denouncing him and saying he's not our father. So we're saying we don't belong to that family.
No.
That's what rebellion does. We denounce God in our lives by rebellion. And we get to that point where we say, I'm not having anything to do with God. Now, a disciple does not do that. He says, Lord, whatever you want me to do, and I know I've done some things wrong, so I need you to straighten me out. What do I need to do, God? And we have to go that way.
It's for our good, isn't it?
It is for our good, that's right. It's for our benefit, for our protection, for our future. Because the word Jesus taught in that parable, when a man asks for a stone, ask for bread, does he get a stone from God?
Yeah.
No. And Jesus went on with that parable. Your Heavenly Father knows how to give good gifts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he shows to the people that God is on our side and wants to bless us. But the thing is, we've got to endure to the end. He says, furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us. Some of us all know a little bit about that, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Being disciplined. And it says, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them, in their little knowledge and understanding at times. But he goes on, but he, God, disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. Discipline is actually to allow you to share in the holiness of God.
Mm-hmm.
To enter into the holy place.
Mm-hmm.
So discipline is there so that you might become holy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not there to stop you having a good time. The discipline's there to bring you to a place of holiness.
Yeah.
That allows you access into the very presence of God himself.
Yeah.
That's what discipline's about. We don't always like it, do we?
No. Joyce was teaching on the vine and the branches. She says, you get pruned if you do, bear fruit.
Oh,
you get pruned if you don't.
There you go.
So you get better fruit.
That's right, yeah. Again, you see, when you prune a fruit tree, you're actually, in one sense, applying some discipline to the tree, because Otherwise, the tree will just go wild and do its own thing. I said on Sunday, I was cutting some trees and suddenly found this branch, and I thought, and I pulled on it. It went down 6 or 8 foot to the ground, and then I thought, where's this come from? It was a sucker from the roots of the fruit tree. It didn't come from the main branch, from the main stem. It had just come up out of the ground on its own. And it had actually woven itself into the tree. And so it was disguised. It appeared to be from the main stem. When it was discovered, guess what came out? I've got these long pruning shears and they've got an extension on them so it gives a bit of purchase, and out it came. Off with its head. And it was chopped off. We don't burn things, but it's probably headed for the burner somewhere. It went in the green bin and on its way to the burner. So, you know, cast into the fire. So, still applies.
It says in Hebrews 5 that Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered.
That's right, he did.
Yeah, well, you do, don't you?
He was made perfect. And having been made perfect,
he surrendered himself.
And the thing is, when if you are disobeying and you've gone through something and you're learning a lesson, it's amazing when he brings it round how he turns it for good.
Yes, yeah. We see verse 11 says, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful. Have you ever noticed that? You know, if your father or your mother has disciplined you, how you didn't enjoy it.
Not one bit.
Not, you know, you didn't stand there and say, oh, that was wonderful, mother. It was wonderful, father. I really appreciate you. I really enjoyed that. I've never heard a child say that in my life, have you?
More?
Yeah, you know, can it give me some more?
You'd have got one for
some laughing. Tammy, you don't do that, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh. Yeah. You know, we're looking for the door that says exit, leave this way, aren't we?
Yeah.
Really, that's, you know, just give me a chance to get out. Has he finished yet? Has she finished having a go at me? Can I leave? It's true, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And yet the Bible says, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yeah, we can all agree with that, can't we?
I identify.
Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness.
Oh, it's there again.
Yeah, you see, righteousness. Righteousness again. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, you have a look in there, and righteousness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. God is there doing great things amongst you, and you and I, we don't even realise that he's doing it.
No.
We moan and groan and complain. Oh, I don't know why it's happening to me like this. Well, read the Bible, and it will probably tell you there exactly why he's doing it. He's bringing you to righteousness.
Yeah.
He's bringing you to an increased level of faith.
Yeah.
That signs, wonders and miracles will accompany the things around you, and that you will do what God has called you to do.
Yeah.
And that you will be fruitful in all that God has called you to do. And so it's important.
And if you're not doing what he wants you to do, he's going to put obstacles in your way.
Oh, yes.
Stop you doing what you want to do.
Oh, definitely. Seen it happen so many times. Mm-hmm. God will stand and wait for you to come round the mountain again.
Mm-hmm.
You just go on a circle. And you don't realise that you're actually going round in circles until you meet up with God again. And he's just stood there in the same place, same time, waiting for you. And it's like, I've been here before. And God says, that's right, and I've been waiting for you to get back here.
Or you can suffer, you go through it doing the wrong thing, and you're not feeling at peace about doing it. Your peace just goes, you know you're doing wrong, do it, but then you suffer consequences, don't you?
That's right.
You shouldn't have done that.
Well, it talks about, as you sow, so shall you reap, so you know, sow some good seeds and believe that God will bring an increase and give him praise and thanks for it. Be guided by spiritual fathers who know the Lord and know the word. It's important that we have spiritual fathers that are able to guide us, to instruct us, and that we are prepared to take instruction.
Yeah.
It's part of our lifestyle. It's part of growing up from being a young person. It's part of growing up spiritually. Somebody's already walked down that pathway.
Yeah.
They already know what's down there.
Yeah.
Smart though.
Don't do it.
Get some advice, because actually you'll get down that pathway, you'll get through the difficulties quicker if you do.
Mm-hmm.
Get some advice from some experience.
Mm-hmm.
You see, be guided by them, for them who know the word, that, you see, they desire to see you achieve your potential.
Yeah.
See, some of the things that we've learnt over the years and are learning still, we're sharing them with you.
Mm.
Nobody shared them with us when we were your age. They didn't know, for some reason, they either didn't know these things or didn't share these things with us. And it's like we were robbed, and we've had to go through an accelerated process. Some crash courses we've gone through. Some of them were crash as well, but we'll not go into that. But God wants to do things for us though, and he wants you to get there quickly. Now there are things that God has prepared for us. He wants you to see, and the desires that you have seen in God, he wants you to achieve them in the realm of the spirit. That's what God wants for you, because God is spirit. And the things that you are going to do, and the things that you are being prepared for, are not just the things for life on this earth as we are now. They're for the future. Because we're living on. We're spiritual beings. God is spirit. God is preparing us for eternity.
Yeah.
Not just for the now. Not for tomorrow, next week, but for eternity.
Yeah.
Our faith will carry us through eternity.
It will.
That's what it's there for. There's a little confession at the end there. Be good for you to read. Read it out aloud at home or wherever you be. And just, that's one of the reasons for printing these out. And it says, I confess that I live in faith. Although Satan tries to use situations to distract me and dissuade me from staying in faith, I have resolved that I am never moving from the place where God has called me to be.
Amen.
I will never relinquish the dreams he has put in my heart.
Amen.
I will stay in this place. I will use my faith. I will be steadfast, unwavering, and committed to seeing his promises come to pass in my life.
Yeah.
I have made this decision. I am a person who pleases God. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Read that out aloud. Say it. Brings faith. Get this into your spirit and let God begin to do something great in the future with you. Amen.
Amen.
So praise the Lord.